Good morning, Alaska. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It is 9:02 a.m. Friday, February 27, 2026. Today, I'm joined by Chair Olson, Senator Kuehl, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman's excused. Senator Stedman is away on state business and excused. Senator Hoffman is away on state business and excused. And myself, Senator Cron, please silence your cell phones. Today, public testimony will be on the operating budget, the capital budget, the mental health budget, and the supplemental budget. This morning, we invite Alaskans across from the Copper River Valley, along the mighty Yukon River, the Golden Heart City of Fairbanks, as well as the rest of the interior, including where I'm from, the Upper Tanana. And then we also have the off-nets. There will be a two-minute time limit today. Please be respectful of your fellow Alaskans who also want to participate. Let's keep our comments focused on the budget. This is not the time to comment on policy bills. Please sign up to testify by 10:15 today. And today we're just going to start on the off-nets. Carrie Nash, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Carrie Nash. I live in Fairbanks, and I'm a mom who has two special needs kids as well as the president of ACCA here in Fairbanks, the president of the board of directors. And I thank you for the chance to address your committee. I'm calling to speak to the necessity of a $5.72 million allocation to the infant learning program and the increase in eligibility for Alaskan kids ages 0 to 3 from the current extremely limited 50% disabled criteria to the broader criteria of 25% disability, which matches most other states. I have two adult kids who are helped by the infant learning program, and I'm now the board president for ACCA. We provide early intervention and family support for interior Alaska, the interior road system, the North Slope, and the Yukon-Koyukuk region. Every kid we serve who avoids special ed in public schooling saves the state up to $229,000. Early childhood support is the right thing to do and helps nearly half of the kids we serve transition out of special needs services even before kindergarten. Families whose children still enter the special ed system know how to advocate and are prepared to assist their kids. Supportive families make our state great. We need the increase in eligibility and the great funding support you guys approved last session. Thank you for supporting Alaskan kids and families.
Thank you, Ms. Nass. We will go to Aaron Marotti. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Aaron Marotti. I'm from Fairbanks and serve as the Executive Director of the Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living. That's the Interior's only comprehensive emergency shelter serving survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault across Fairbanks and 42 surrounding Alaska Native villages. As executive director, I am responsible for fiscal stewardship and ensuring that state investments translate into measurable public safety outcomes. In fiscal year 25, IAC provided thousands of survivors, including answering thousands of crisis hotline calls and delivering thousands of emergency shelter nights to adults and children fleeing violence. One of these survivors was a young mother from a rural interior village that we serve. In her community, leaving meant coordinating air travel and middle of winter. She arrived at our shelter with her children and one small bag. She told her advocates she believed she would be murdered if she stayed. At IAC, she received immediate shelter, legal representation, secured a protective order, custody protection, housing assistance, and received trauma-informed care for herself and her children. Today, she is housed, employed, rebuilding her life, and most importantly, she's safe. That also prevented repeat law enforcement response emergency, medical costs, and deeper OCS involvement. The economic burden of domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska is estimated at $7 billion statewide. Victim services are not optional, they are preventable, and public safety is needed in infrastructure. Yet because of federal VOCA reduction, IAC is preparing to close our legal program after more than a decade of service. Survivors in the interior may soon lose access to this free legal resource. Therefore, we respectfully request you to fund $2.5 million for the CDBSA grant line for emergency shelters to compete for. That's $2 million for emergency services and $500,000 for legal services. This is a critical moment. Without this increase, programs will reduce services, eliminate staff, and survivors will have to face greater danger. I urge you, please include this funding in the final budget. Lives quite literally depend on it. Thank you for your leadership and your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Marotti. We'll go to Heidi Haas. Please state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Heidi Haas. I'm the Executive Director for Alaska Center for Children and Adults. Thank you to the committee for this opportunity to testify. I'm also the parent of a young adult who received early intervention services, which were instrumental in starting her pathway, which has led to a successful individual now working as a direct service provider for individuals with disabilities in Fairbanks. I'm calling in support of increasing FY27 funding for the infant learning program and what I believe is good public policy. Aligning eligibility and ILP with school-based special education services will improve outcomes for Alaskan students and greater access to early intervention services, which will decrease the number of children who require special education services in the future. This will be a savings to the state in the future. The annual savings realized in future years from investing in early intervention now far outweigh the initial investment. I ask that you make that investment in the FY27 budget so the alignment can happen. I want to thank you for prioritizing ILP and FY26 and ask that you please support the $5.72 million for FY27. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Haas. We are going to go to Jordan Sanford of Fairbanks. Hi, Jordan. Please state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Good morning, members of Senate Finance Committee. My name is Jordan Sanford. I'm the president of Doran Tourism, and I'm here today on behalf of the Alaska travel industry. I'm a constituent of Senator Kronk, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify this morning. Doran Tourism owns tourism businesses across Alaska, from supporting services in Denali National Park to welcoming cruise guests at the Port of Kowak on Prince of Wales Island. Through our lodges, park partnerships, transportation, and cruise port operations, we support hundreds of seasonal and year-round jobs and welcome hundreds of thousands of visitors annually. Tourism generates $5.6 billion in economic impact and supports 48,000 jobs statewide. In 2024 alone, it contributed $181.7 million in state revenue. These are outside dollars flowing directly into Alaska's economy. Visitors make their travel decisions long before they arrive, and research shows travelers who see Alaska's marketing are twice as likely to visit, influencing more than $2 billion in visitor spending. At the same time, Alaska is significantly outspent by competing destinations. In a competitive marketplace, visibility drives visitation, and visitation drives revenue. If we want private sector growth, stronger state revenues, and continued job creation, we must remain competitive. Tourism marketing delivers measurable return on investment, and it requires sustained funding to be effective. I respectfully urge you to include strong funding for tourism marketing in the budget. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate your testimony. With that, I see no other testifiers online right now, so let's take a brief at ease until 9:25. We'll be at ease. Back on the record here at Senate Finance, we are having public testimony on the operating, capital, mental health, and supplemental budgets. Please call in by 10 o'clock if you would like to testify. There is another public testimony opportunity this afternoon at 1:30 for anyone who else wants to call in and use that opportunity. We are off net right now, and Erica Burr, please state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Hello, this is Erica Burr. I'm from Fairbanks. Thank you for taking time for public testimony and listening to your constituents. I'm a parent in Fairbanks and also a teacher, a high school teacher, and I'm calling today to remind you how important it is to us that you prioritize a meaningful increase to school funding. In particular, I'm thinking about how we need help to alleviate class sizes. At the high school level, many, many of our classes are 30 or more. Our classrooms just aren't designed for that. We have mismatched furniture. We have awkward time sitting those almost adult bodies in those classes. And it really can tamp down on the kids' engagement because they feel like they're in a crowd rather than individuals that we're investing in. Importantly, it really makes a difference when the kids feel like what they're doing is important, and a larger class makes it much harder for them to feel that. It also makes it much harder for them to connect with their teacher. And a number of our kids really, really need that in order to connect to the hard work of learning mathematics, for example. Our schools are doing really impressive work, even despite the local challenges and global, at the state level too. And we can do better if we have more time to plan so that we can really make sure that our resources are going where they can make the most difference. Schools are also a great center for community, really important to have sports and music and art for our kids to learn what they're interested in, to help keep kids who otherwise aren't as academically engaged in school. My father, for example, probably wouldn't have finished high school if he hadn't had bands to keep him coming back. And then he got a band scholarship. So it's important to our family in many ways. Anyway, I also am really concerned about the lasting wages are leaving the state, especially the ones in the development of oil and gas and mining. So the more we can do to make sure we're funding CTE and general education to help really prepare a workforce that can help build our state in all the ways, especially in those sectors where we're outsourcing so many of the jobs to people out of state, like 40% or more, which is very concerning based on that recent report. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us, and I want to remind you that parents and families and communities are really counting on strong schools, so please prioritize the meaningful increase in school funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Burr. Appreciate your testimony. We're going to go to Angela Blandoff, from Ketchikan. Please state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Angela Blandoff. I live in Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm a Alaskan since 1973. I am a mother of three older adult children. My youngest one is adopted. He was placed by family, not through OCS, but just placed with me at 1 week old. I had him for a couple months, and then the mother decided to give me guardianship. And he is tribal through now my ex-husband. My child was born opioid and addicted, and as well as his full fetal alcohol syndrome. He has cerebral palsy, been diagnosed with FASD, ADHD, as well as full autism. I am now a single mom, have been since 2020. I am a survivor of DV, and my child also had been abused. I have a bio child with my ex-husband, and also my biological son was my ex-husband's child. And 4th of July of this year, he unalived himself. That being said, I am asking that the government needs more supports as far as education. I have been raising my child here in Southeast Alaska. Ketchikan Gateway Rural School District, we have a serious problem here. in our school district, short of paras, and the education funds are serious being cut and problems. We are short paras in all of this school district now for several years. My child recently got assaulted in Ketchikan Charter School. He was restrained and should not have been by two grown men to the floor. That being said, I've had some major trust issues with that. And so while I've been working on that, funding is being cut really bad down here in Southeast, and that is a serious problem. They're now thinking about cutting school activities and things, and those are seriously important, especially for children like mine with ADHD. Getting those supports in place are extremely critical. My child, though, is very good at math. He's now reading on par. PT and OT has been in place now since he was a small child. Early infant learning program has been vital in helping me to know what to look for and the concerns and problems that needed to be put in place. Early intervention has been critical, and he has thrived in the things that he can now do. It's awesome and amazing that having these supports in place on what he has the abilities now to do in thriving. And his reading level, he's up, he's now will be 9 years old, March 22. He's able to run, he's able to jump, climb. He is on a third grade reading level. The problem, though, is his sensory processing disorder in the school classroom and the accommodations that he needs in the classroom that often the schools are not equipped to deal with. His aggressive behavior due to not understanding his processing disorders, being able to handle
Ms. Blandoff, could you please wrap up your testimony?
Situation. So we need more help and supports for the education in this. And he is quite successful when I am in there in order to help him navigate, but teachers are not always accommodating. And when we do not have the funds necessary, and these are larger classroom sizes, let alone the teachers not getting the supports that they need right now all over the state.
Ms. Blandoff, can you please wrap up your testimony?
So, as in Anchorage and throughout our state right now, numerous schools are being closed. Here in Ketchikan alone, they're thinking of
Ms. Blandoff, could you please wrap up your testimony?
Yes. So, yes, we need to increase the education funding, please. This is critical for the state, especially of Alaska.
Thank you, Ms. Blandoff.
Thank you.
We got a new person. All right. Deb Foster from Fairbanks. Please state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
My name is Deborah Foster. I'm calling from Fairbanks, and I'm a parent and a guardian of two sons with special needs. And I'd like to speak on behalf of increasing the funding in FY27 for the infant learning program. I'm calling in support of that, about increasing the funding for the infant learning program expansion in the Department of Health Division of Senior and Disability Services by $5.72 million. We were overjoyed to see the legislature include this long-sought increment in FY 26, and we're asking for you to do the same step again. I'm a parent and a guardian whose sons receive services in Fairbanks. In my role, I've seen the impact early intervention has had on my home, community, and my family. Expanding ILP eligibility from 50% to 25% developmental delay helps more Alaskan families and saves the state money. Thank you for stepping up in support of expanding ILP programs from the 50% to 25% developmental delay. Please maintain this commitment in FY27. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Foster. We're going to the Glen Allen LIO. We have Carrie Rogers. Please state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony. Glen Allen LIO, Carrie Rogers, are you there?
Okay.
Press the button.
The screen?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Carrie Rogers. I'm from Gapona here in the Copper River Valley. Been a resident for 25 years. And I'm basically echoing what the three previous callers have pleaded with you about regarding the need for increased funding on public education, on all aspects of it, beginning with funding for teachers and just ensuring that we hire quality teachers and provide for them so that we can retain them in our classrooms. They are lacking a defined benefit pension or social security for their retirement, and thus they're prone to looking elsewhere for employment for their own welfare. And this definitely hurts our students. And so we need to provide for them. We need to make sure that school infrastructure is not neglected so that environments for learning are safe. And then also I want to address House Bill 48, which is meant to boost the funding for nonprofits, which provide free legal aid for vulnerable residents here in Alaska, including seniors and veterans, disabled people, or domestic abuse survivors. All of these people find themselves in a position of struggling to negotiate system for getting legal aid, and so we need to ensure that they have an agency, a nonprofit that's willing to stem that gap for them and help them to receive the aid that they need. And I appreciate your listening to me, and I urge you to provide funding for both of these systems. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. We appreciate your testimony. Seeing nobody else off net or anywhere else, it is. We will take another brief. It is until 9:52. We're back on our record here at Senate Finance for public testimony, and on the off-net, we see we have Wade Binkley. So please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes. Well, good morning, members of the Senate Finance Committee, and thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning. My name is Wade Binkley. I'm the president of the Riverboat Discovery here in Fairbanks and a constituent of Senator Cronk. 76 years ago, my grandparents, Captain Jim and Mary, they founded our business. And 1 year later, they were instrumental in helping form the Alaska Visitors Association. And that was started with a $25,000 grant from the territorial legislature and was matched by industry partners. And that moment really began a public-private partnership that has supported Alaska tourism and Alaskans for the past 75 years. Now today, ATIA carries that responsibility, but last year's $5 million appropriation was vetoed down to just $2.5 million, which is really not enough to compete with the well-funded states and international destinations out in the marketplace. And when Alaska reduces its marketing presence, we lose that market share, and small businesses across the state feel that impact. Here in Fairbanks at the Riverboat, we employ about 20 full-time, year-round staff and more than 180 seasonal employees here in Fairbanks. And when you look across our operations around the state, that number doubles. And as a fourth-generation Alaskan, it really matters to me that we provide our young people with meaningful first jobs that teach foundational life skills. And actually, as I get down to Juneau so often and walk through the Capitol halls, I'm reminded that many staffers, legislators, commissioners, even lieutenant governors have got their start with us at the Riverboat Discovery. Tourism really creates these opportunities and has the ability to keep young Alaskans connected to their homes. And I think it's important to remember that independent travelers don't just simply end up in Alaska. They have to choose Alaska after seeing marketing that inspires them to make that long journey north. And the return is clear. In 2024, tourism contributed $181 million directly to the state's general fund. And that's revenue that's generated without new taxes on Alaskans, but simply by bringing outside dollars into the economy. It's without a doubt, I'd say tourism is Alaska's most sustainable and renewable resource. And I respectfully ask you to support $10 million in funding for ATIA this year in the capital budget. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Binkle. We appreciate your testimony. Seeing no other people ready to testify, I think we should just... Please, if you're going to testify today, please call in by 10 a.m. We have about five more minutes. So we're going to take a brief at ease until 10:05 and see if anybody else calls in. So we're at ease. back on the record at Senate Finance, hearing public testimony, seeing no other people either called in or at LIOs, that concludes today's meeting. We will continue public testimony on the budget bills this afternoon at 1:30 p.m. We will hear from Alaskans from the communities of Anchorage, the Matanuska Susitna Valley, and the Kenai Peninsula. All right. With that, we are adjourned at, I'm going to look at the clock, 10:05 a.m.